We're still on 18.
All right.
Luke.
Before we start, yesterday when we were through, you said to me particularly, do you have any thoughts? And I said, I don't have any thoughts. And I could tell by your reaction that wasn't the right answer.
Well, it's because I thought you did have thoughts.
I'm sorry?
I thought you did have some reaction to something that was said during the morning.
You thought I had a reaction to something that was said before?
Well, during the whole morning, yeah.
During some time other than during the morning.
Right. I saw that. I may have been mistaken, but I saw an expression change. I can't remember what I said, but
okay.
That was the reason.
Okay. I'm just wondering what the right answer is.
There's no right answer. I mean, if you didn't, that's fine. But what's difficult for me to understand, and because it seems to me that there's almost nothing in the Bible that one could teach on for which there wasn't some response. And all I'm trying to do, and have been, is get everybody to say what's there always. So it isn't a monologue, it's a dialogue. Because what you have to say is it important, or maybe more important than what I have to say. Because all I'm doing is, you know, throwing stuff out that I believe is right, true. So anyway, that's we're back to that whole thing. Luke 18, we're still studying what adulterers mean. Where it says, in verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. So it's that internal response that people give of self-righteousness. And then let's go to Hosea chapter 1. We looked at this before, but we're going to look at it a little bit more thoroughly. The word of the Lord that came, this is 760 years before Christ. This is when he's speaking. And he was a recognized prophet during the time of when they were an incredible renewal in Israel. It's when Hezekiah was king, to all kinds of going downhill after that. And before that, when they were screwed up. The word of the Lord that
like
came.
He was contemporary with Isaiah, because
yeah.
He lists the same kings.
Yeah, he is.
Besides Joseph.
Let me see exactly.
As Hezekiah. There are several, at least.
No, he's not contemporary. He is about 70 years before him. Anyway, the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. Now what happened and what he's prophesying here is the 10 northern tribes are going to be, from God's standpoint, killed. And only Judah and Benjamin will remain after this. Did you put that warmer or colder?
I put it 1 degree up so I could hear better.
Okay.
It was reading 7:6, 7:7.
The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, And the Lord said to Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredom, and children of whoredoms. For the land hath committed great whoredoms, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and I will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. It's important to understand this, that this, we now call Israel the whole thing, but back here, it was the land of Judah that contained Israel, that 10 tribes, and the land of Judea, which included 2 tribes. So when it talks about...
I think you said that backwards. Isn't it the land, wasn't it the 2 separations, the land of Israel and the land of Judah?
Isn't that what I said?
No, you said the land of Judea was the 2 tribes.
Well, it was Judea or Judah, either one.
Oh, I thought it was... Judea
was
a different name. Okay.
No, it's the same name. All right. So he's prophesying that the land of Israel is going to be destroyed. It's in verse 5. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name Loruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel. I will utterly take them away. Now, Loruha means what does Loruha mean? I forgot. It means completely destroyed. How'd you like to have that for a name? But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Loruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then God said, call his name Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Now, that's what Lo-Ami means, not my people. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where I was said unto them, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Now that happened. Well, I won't go into that. Now we're just going to read a few verses here. Say unto your brethren, Ami, and to your sisters, Ruhamah. Ami is my people, and Ruhamah is having obtained mercy. Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot, that she conceived them, she that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers, until that give me my bread, and my water, and my wool, and my flax, mine oil, and my drink. Now, it's the whole reason for reading this is this idea that if you go anywhere other than God and faith, you're committing whoredoms. You're committing adultery. Now, that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to our mind, it seems impossible. But this is why we have to understand these things. When, you know, we just read in James where it said, if you're a friend with the world, you're an enemy of God, because you're committing adultery. Now, you just kind of hate this. This can't be right. Until you finally realize that we are here and we must live by faith and faith alone. Amen? All right, let's go back to Luke. Let's go to Ezekiel 16. Just backwards a few pages. The whole chapter is about the unfaithfulness of Jerusalem. Let me see.
Big chapter.
Huh?
It's a big chapter.
It is, but we're going to start in verse 8. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swore unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water, yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with embroidered work, and shod thee with badgers, or these particular kind of slippers, the skin with badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee, I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain upon thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver. Thy raiment was of fine linen and silk, embroidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. But thou did trust in thine own beauty, and played the harlot because of thy renown, and poured out thy fornications on everyone that passed by. His it was. And of thy garments thou didst take and decked thy high places with diverse colors, and played the harlot thereupon. The like things shall not come, neither shall it be so. Anyway, the point was, as we were, and this is about us, we were created in that innocency, and then we soon started playing the harlot. So that's, now let's go to Ezekiel 23. No, go back, we'll go backwards. No, Ezekiel 23, I'm sorry. Verse 9. This is the abominations of the two sisters. Verse 36.
I'm still writing about Ezekiel.
Okay, chapter 23 of Ezekiel, okay. Starting in verse 36. The Lord said, moreover unto me, son of man, wilt thou judge Aholah and Aholibah? Yea, declare unto them their abominations, that they have committed adultery, and blood is in their hands, and with their idols, and with their idols have they committed adultery, and have caused their sons, whom they bear unto me, to pass for them through fire to devour them. Moreover, this have they done unto me, they have defiled my sanctuary in the same day, and have profaned my Sabbaths. For when they had slain their children, to the idols, then they came the same day into my sanctuary to profane it. And lo, thus have they done in the midst of thine house. And furthermore, that you have sent for me to come from far, unto
men,
whom?
Men.
Huh?
You said sent for me to come from far, and sent for men to come from far.
Oh, okay. Sent for men to come from far, unto whom a messenger was sent, and lo, they came for whom thou didst wash thyself, painted thine eyes, and decked thyself with ornaments. And thou sattest upon a stately bed, and a table prepared before it, whereunto thou hast set mine incense and mine oil. And a voice of a multitude, being at ease, was with her, and with the men of the common sort were brought Sabaeans from the wilderness, which put bracelets upon their hands and beautiful crowns upon their heads. Then said I unto her, that thou wast old in adulteries. Will they now commit whoredoms with her, and she with them? Yet they went in unto her, as they go in unto a woman that playeth the harlot. And so went they in, both Abola, and unto Aholibah, the lewd women. Anyway, again, it's the whole idea. Pay attention to our mind, that we need something, that we go to with our mind. Let's go to Matthew 5, I think. Maybe 6. Yeah, chapter 6. Verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now remember, evil there is porneo, and it means that you have something to do or toil. So that's the start of this whoredom, is that you believe that faith isn't enough. Something else has to be done. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And remember, mammon is that Chaldean word. Here it's in many places it's translated as money, But that's not what it means. It means anything you have trust in besides God is mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than food, and the body more than raiment? And this is the key. If you go anywhere other than God for anything that you need or want or desire, then you're playing the harlot. It's adultery in spirit. And then it goes on. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they weep, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Am I not much better than they? Are you not much better than they? And which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Wherefore, if God so love, so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For if your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek you first, or seek you only, really, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, this is the summary of what it means to not commit adultery. How can you live without taking thought? This is why many of the translations of this Bible say don't have anxiety. It doesn't say that. It says take no thought. Now, is this just a fanciful thing? It was just for those guys back then? Because taking thought will lead to adultery. Just like Jesus said, if you think about having sex with a woman, since there's all men here, you've committed adultery already.
Yeah. Jimmy Carter.
Hmm?
Jimmy Carter's famous
one. Yeah. The more I read this, the more I study. Now I've been studying intently in Revelation for the last few weeks. The more I see how far we've fallen from what the first century believers have done, or did do. We've created a religion that's not a religion. It's just a way of thought. Translators of the Bible have changed the words, changed the meaning of the words. But we are called to this first century kind of faith. Pray that we live it. The last thing Gary said to me before he left on vacation was that, you remember we've had several discussions about how the default position of your mind is always the evil one. And he didn't like that. But I think he understood and saw something. So pray for that.
Yeah.
Take it, big guy.